Sunday. This is BK Jones. I am thrilled to be partnering with BPN Radio and Pastor Dale Gentry for Preaching Sundays every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go to the message. This is BK Jones. It's a privilege to have you with me today. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 6, and my sermon's entitled, Let Me Tell You About My God. Isaiah chapter 6 starts with Isaiah's commission. And God commissions each of us to do something, and it's important to spend time in the presence of God and in His Word to find out what your calling is and to find out who He is over your life, particularly to you. With verse 1, it says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices and the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Verse 6, Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Hallelujah. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. Now the nation was in turmoil, and Uzziah died, and in spite of the shame of his latter days, it was a time of great mourning, national mourning. Perhaps Isaiah was concerned of what would happen with his nation after the king's death. Maybe the vision had nothing to do with Isaiah at all, but maybe it did. So during this time of transition, I love this, that Isaiah went to church to worship and to pray for the nation himself. And oh, how God is calling his people back to church. Oh, how there has been a great falling away, but the presence of God comes when two or more are gathered in his name. And it is so important to go to the house of God and seek his face and come under authority and hear the word of the Lord and receive from your brothers and sisters in Christ the nourishment that you need to make it week to week and day to day. So God met Isaiah and gave him a vision of who the Almighty was. Oh, that we could get a picture of who the Almighty is. I love God so much. And if you can somehow grasp the greatness, the vastness of his love, the incredible extended fatherhood that comes with knowing God. I mean, you look at an earthly father, and they are limited at best. But when you get a picture of God Almighty, who has no limitations, who is over all and above all, then you get a fresh glimpse of who he is and what he's doing. You get a fresh picture of a holy and a just God when you spend time in his presence. I encourage you to get to church or get to a place of prayer and spend time in the Lord's presence. So Isaiah, he saw the Lord. He saw him high and lifted up. He saw him exalted. He saw him above his circumstances. He saw him unmoved and unchallenged by the state of his nation. Because he saw the Lord, earthly rulers do not alter what God is and who he is, the state of his being. Nothing on earth can alter that. Your vision can get blurred, but it never changes who God is and how he rules. He's seated on the throne, and he is above every power and principality, every power in the land. And I'm so thankful for that. Angels were surrounding God as Isaiah's vision continued, giving glory to him. The angels were pure and holy, but they had to shield themselves from a direct glimpse of God because of the reverence and the awe of the presence of the Almighty and his majesty. So no matter what is going on around us, we must remember who God is. He is God. He is God. That just says a whole lot. He's just God. He's the supreme being of the universe. Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6 in the New Living Translation say it like this, and I love this. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. And then in Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him." I want you to know that God's goodness never changes. No matter if your circumstance changes, the goodness of God never changes. He is good. That is who he is. He is good, and he's a stronghold in the time of trouble, and he knows if you're trusting in him. And he knew that Isaiah was trusting in him and seeking his face, so he was determined to speak to Isaiah and show him who he was. Sometimes we just need a reminder, just a refresher of who God is, and that's the purpose of this sermon today, is just to refresh you on the God that's high and lifted up, the only one that sits above all. Number two, God is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." 1 Thessalonians 5:24 in the NIV, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." 2 Thessalonians 3:3 in the NIV says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." Number three, God is compassionate and merciful. Now, you might have been raised that God's a mean God and he's a mad father, but that's not the truth. He is compassionate and he is mercy and he is loving. And if you're his child, compassion and mercy flows to you. He is eager to relent and not punish. God doesn't enjoy punishment. Sometimes we have to be punished to learn, but God rejoices in doing good for his children. And I'm sure, just like it hurts a parent's heart to discipline, I know it hurts the heart of God. When he has to punish us, I'm sure it just breaks his heart. In Joel 2:13, it says, "Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish." So that's going to mess with some of your thinking, but it says that God is slow to anger. He's slow to get angry, and he's filled with unfailing love. His heart toward you is good. He has good feelings toward you. He's not standing and crying over your past sin. If it's under the blood, it's forgiven and cleansed. But he's rejoicing in you, and he's very patient and loving and kind and compassionate with you. Number four, God will not fail. 1 Chronicles 28:20 in the NIV says, "David also said to Solomon his son, 'Be strong and courageous and do not work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished.'" In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with you. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." God has always been, and he will always be. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the scripture says. Everything starts and ends with God. People may think they pull something over on you, but I want to tell you, they have to go through God. And everything for your life will begin and end in God if you trust him as the Alpha and Omega. He has been, and he will always be. In Revelation 1:8, it says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." There's nobody like God. There's no one beside God. He is the one everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What an incredible Father we serve. 1 Kings 8:23 in the New Living Translation says, "And he prayed, 'O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in all of heaven, above or on the earth below. You keep your covenant and you show unfailing love to all who walk before you in wholehearted devotion.'" Isn't that awesome? That God always has been and he always will be. Number six, he is holy. In Revelation 4:8, I know I'm reading a lot of scripture here, but it's the word that washes and changes you. If you put that word in your life constantly, you're going to be changed. It says that he washes us with the water of the word, and some of us just need a cleansing today. We need our minds to be washed, and so that's why we're putting in a lot of scripture. I've just been listening to Audible Bible on my phone, just constantly letting the word flow into me because it washes you and it sets you at peace. Revelation 4:8, it says, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. Oh, he's holy. He's the purest. He doesn't have a bad thought. He doesn't have a bad day. God loves you the same if your heart is toward him than if you're running away from him. I want you to know if you're headed down a wrong path, God loves you. His heart is crying out for you. He hasn't turned his back on you. He's waiting for you to return to him. His love for you is holy. It's pure. It's not like the world's love. It's like no other love you could ever find because he is holy. Number seven, he's a good, good father. Matthew 7:11 says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Number eight, God is love. 1 John 4:7-8 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So people say, I'm in love with somebody that doesn't know God. Well, they don't know how to return love to you if they don't know God, because love originates in God. So the Bible says, don't be yoked with an unbeliever. And that's one reason, because God wants the best for us, and true love can only come out of God's heart. And so you have to, as a human, you have to have accepted the infinite love of God in order to love someone else properly, because love is born of God, and everyone who loves knows God. So if they don't know God, if they don't have Christ living in them, there's no way for them to love you, because God is love, and all love originates out of him. So you need to love one another like God loves you the best you can. You love people holy and pure and right, and try to keep your priorities in line with love, that it's coming from God, and you love and forgive out of his great grace and love. How God works. His goodness and his kindness lead us to repentance. This is one of my favorite scriptures, because I was raised in a very hard religious background, and it was hard for me to believe that if I didn't do everything right, that God would still love me. Does he want me to obey his word? Absolutely. Does he still love me when I mess up and forgive me when I ask forgiveness? Absolutely. And it is out of that great love and compassion and kindness that he extends his goodness and his kindness that leads us to repentance. Romans 2 verse 4 in the NIV says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Again, let me say that. It says, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? The way I understand that is, are you taking for granted God's kindness? Are you taking for granted how many times he's gone out of his way for you? How kind he's been to you? How he's provided for you? When other people didn't come through, God still was there for you. He still came through for you. He loves you with an everlasting love, and his kindness brings you to repentance today. I believe some of you are listening in on the radio today, and maybe you've had a hard life, and maybe things are going really rough right now, but God's kindness led you to this broadcast today, and he wants to speak his love to you, that before he formed you in your mother's belly, he knew you, and he ordained you to do good things. He didn't make you as a loser. You are not a loser. The world has told you that you're a loser, but you are absolutely not. You are made in the image of God, and right now his kindness wants to lead you to repentance. He just wants you to know how much he loves you and how he longs to hear you just ask for forgiveness, so that he can just release a river of love in your life. how he works. Number two, his love never fails. Psalm 103 says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, and filled with unfailing love. There's that scripture again. He never fails. He never runs out of love. There's no shortage in God. He has a vast supply of love for you. He's constantly reaching for you. He's constantly extending his hand to you. Once again, talking about the Father heart of God and what a good Father he is. In Psalm 121, verses 3 through 8, it says, he will not let you stumble. The one who watches you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. I want you to know that. God's not sleeping. He's not off the clock. He's constantly on your case, never sleeping, but constantly aware. His eyes are on you, and he sees you today. The Lord himself watches over you. In verse 5, the Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and as you go, both now and forever. This morning, while I was preparing for the day and getting ready, I just had a heaviness about the protection of my daughter today. So I messaged a couple of friends and said, just pray for me and let's cover Allison and ask the Lord just to surround her and protect her. And someone gave me this exact scripture today in Psalm 21. So I went in and I prayed the scripture over her. You know, you can take a psalm that is meant as a prayer, and you can just pray it when you don't exactly know what to pray or how to pray. But I love this psalm, and I just prayed and prophesied that over her, that the Lord stands beside you as your protective shield. The sun will not harm you, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over you. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and as you go, both now and forever. Because as a mother, sometimes you fear, and you know the world and how evil it is, and you know how people are texting and driving and just distracted. And so she was getting ready to head out to school, and I just had this unsettledness. And as I prayed this word over her, I was prophesying it into her spirit, and I was declaring the protection of the Lord and the help of the Lord, because he's so awesome to be there for us in the time of trouble. He's so awesome to spring the traps of the enemy. I want you to know that some of you right now, you're looking at traps the enemy has set for you. You may be headed to a crack house right now. You may be sitting there contemplating doing something, taking your life, or doing something you know is wrong. And God wants to stop you right in your tracks. And he wants you to know that he's with you, he's for you, and he's working things for your good if you just surrender your heart to him and just hold on to his hand. God keeps his word. In Hebrews 6:18, it says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have a great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. So God's not going to lie. I don't care who's lied to you, who's done bad things to you, or said unkind things to you, or made promises that they couldn't keep. But you cannot let them affect your image of God, because he cannot lie. That's who he is. That's his nature. It's not his nature to lie. It's the devil's nature to lie to you. So if you're hearing lies in your head, you need to get the truth of God in your head. Once again, God's promise and his love is endless. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. There it is again. He's drawn you with loving kindness. It's his kindness and compassion that lead you to a place of repentance. In Isaiah 40, verse 28, it says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Some of people tell me as a pastor, they'll say, I know God's sick of me. I know God doesn't want to hear from me. I know God's mad at me. But that's not the truth. See, that's why you got to get in the Word and find out the truth about him. And the Word says that the Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. You have to combat lies with truth. He never grows weak or weary. What did I just say? God never grows weak or weary. Say that to yourself. God never grows weak or weary with me. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. God is fierce. And not only is he a good father, he's a fierce father. I don't want to go against God. I learned as a young child, I watched people walk out of God's ways and do things in disobedience. And I saw the fierceness of God. I saw, you know, them have to pay for some of their consequences. And it was really hard, but God is fierce and he's fierce in battle for you. He's a very protective father. He's fierce. I'm going to tell you, you don't want to mess with my kids because I become fierce when you mess with my kids. And I believe that's God's heart in me. God is fierce and he does not tolerate people going against his kids. He'll always arise and take care of business. Psalm 68, verse 1 and 3, it says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. A smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad and let them rejoice. See, if you're righteous and you're in Christ, you don't have anything to fear about God. If you don't know him, and then you might experience, you will experience consequences for your disobedience and for walking outside his ways, but you are always welcome and invited to come and know him and to love him. And he will defend his own. That's a promise of God that he will defend his own. He will arise and let his enemies be scattered. If they're an enemy of you, they're an enemy of God, and he'll handle them. That's why you just have to forgive them and put them in the hands of Almighty God, because he is fierce. He's loving and kind, yet he's fierce. He doesn't tolerate people fighting against his people. He doesn't tolerate people setting up his people for ill will. He will repay them for that. I know it hurts his heart to have to allow people to suffer consequences, but it's just life, that you reap what you sow. But that minute that you come to repentance, that minute that you accept his love and his grace, oh, his heart of love just boils over for you, and he is loving and kind to you. God calls his own. 1 John 3:1-3 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. I just want to say that again. This is one of my very favorite scriptures in all the scriptures of the Word. 1 John 3:1-3, once again, in case you missed it, you need to mark it or make a note of it and go back and read it again. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. He smeared it on us. He's just like oil pouring over us. God just saturates us with his love. It says that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. That's what you are if you know Christ. You're a child of God. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. What an honor and a privilege to be a child of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know this, that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. I'm telling you, we need to live to see God. We need to live to know that he's got something incredible beyond this life for us. It's not just this life, but it's the glory and the abundance and the grace and the great blessings we're going to have in heaven, and that when we see him face to face, we will spontaneously become like him because we will know him as he is, and we'll see him as he is, and we will be changed in that moment. So God calls his own. He calls you his child. I love that. As if that weren't enough, that we get to be the children of God and live this life in full focus of knowing that we have a good Father reigning and ruling over us, protecting us, shielding us, covering us, picking us up when life knocks us down. As if that wasn't enough, what promises we have ahead of us in Christ, that when we see him, we will know him and be like him. God is a jealous God. You must not bow down to them or worship them. Exodus 20, verse 5 through 6 in the New Living says, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon the children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But listen, but I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey me." I want to tell you, you may be facing the consequences of your parents. You may be facing the consequences of a bloodline of people that have been disobedient. But when you turn to God, and that's why the struggle's so hard sometimes, when you call out to God, and you may be the first one in generations of people to call out to him, when you call out to him, when you walk before him in obedience and you just love him and let him just... obedience is not a struggle when you just love him. So just get in his presence and love on him and let him love on you through prayer and the word. And then let him lavish his unfailing love on you. And it's not just on you, but it's for 1,000 generations. He's going to bless past you. See, sins are visited for the third and fourth generation on the next generation, but on the blessing of the blessing of the righteous goes to 1,000 generations. That's what you're fighting for. That's what the struggle is for that blessing on 1,000 generations. And Isaiah 45 verse 6, it says, "So that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other." Listen, you may be pulled to another religion. You might find yourself studying different religions, different walks of life. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but by him. I feel like someone's been raised in Christianity and you're starting to question God. I just dare you. To ask God to prove himself to you, because his love for you is so great that he can handle your challenge and he will prove himself to you. But you don't need to mix with false gods. You need to mix with the one true God, because nobody measures up. Nobody comes close to God the Father. He's crazy about you. He loves you. His heart for you is good and not evil. He has a plan to prosper you and not harm you, to give you a future and a hope. So today I just tear down every thought contrary to the word of God. I tear down false religion. I tear down high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God in your life. And I declare the plan of God over your life. I declare you'll live and not die and experience the healing of God. I declare that you're the head and not the tail, that you are the first and not the last, that God goes before you and behind you, and he prepares the way for you. I declare that he makes a table before you, before your enemies, for you. He makes him sit there and watch you prosper when you turn your life over to him. I've watched him do this in my life. There was a situation that I was accused in that it was not the truth. Someone did something wrong, and then I told the truth about it, and they tried to make out for me to be a liar. And I want you to know that man came and sat with me in that same gathering of people where he had falsely accused me. He chose to sit with me instead of all the others and to come to peace with me. And God said, "Right here, honey, I'm making you a table in the presence of your enemy." And we are at peace together. We love each other. I love this man and his wife so very much. But after those accusations, 30 years later, God prepared me a table right in the presence of my enemies. God's for you, not against you today. You have a blessed day and keep your head up. We serve a mighty God, and I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.